Oh, it is live after quite a bit of delay. I will take the credit on this one. Usually we're blaming Christo, but this time it's my bad. But what is there to say? There was a trophy yesterday. Feeling good. I've got a cat fighting me over here. But we got the full cast. The chat's already been popping. I know Sharma sent. I don't know if we're Sharma's nephews or if the people who were sent over from Sharma are Sharma's nephews, but we got Sharma's nephews in the house. What's up, everyone who's new? Good to have you guys on. It's great to see some new faces, new names in the chat. But yeah, we'll just go ahead and get into it. I'll start with you, Dave. You've got the new mic. I want to hear what it sounds like. How are we feeling?
Man, listen, I really don't know where to start, to be honest. Of course, a Super Copa is not something that we go into the season circling like, hey, this is something that we're definitely looking forward to competing in and winning, you know? Of course, we're in there by default because we are the champions of Italy. And but the fact that the opponent there were Juve, that made it even that much more important to me. No, and to me, that match, of course, we could go into details of how the game went itself, but the result and the people that the team that we beat for the result, it's a big sign of the changing of guards for me in Italy. Some could say that us winning the Scudetto last year was the case, but in a Scudetto race, there's so many things that happen. This felt more like a direct confrontation between the old guard and the new guard. And we were able to pull it off. Hopefully, man, we could just kick on and go on from there.
Yeah, I mean, finals in anything are a rare occasion, especially with, the situation we've been in the past, well, you want to call it a decade. I mean, there's been enough, you can count all the cup finals we've been in on like one hand. So, I
Yeah.
mean, it feels good to finally get one. I mean, the last final we were in was, of course, Sevilla, and we don't talk about that. I'll go back up to my this way. We'll go to Ian. What's up? How's it going?
Yeah,
How are we feeling?
how's it
Everything
going?
sick?
Out and sick, fever due to Super Copa.
Nah,
Yeah,
it's
the trophy
honestly,
fever.
yesterday's match was half the game was so intense I couldn't take my eyes off the screen. The rest was boring as fuck to me. And then just like at the last minute, I was already mentally prepared for penalties, and then just was amazing. That was amazing. I almost woke the house up. I just wanted to run outside and celebrate. Probably why I got the cold now.
Oh, Sharma already taking a shot at Risto. We've got Sharma saying Handanovic lifting the cup on Risto's head. All right, we'll get your intro and rebuttal right here in one.
No, Handanovic is one of the best keepers that I've seen at Inter. There's no doubt about that. I've been a big fan of him ever since day one. And yeah, he deserves this. He's, oh my God, I feel so dirty talking about this. No, but like, I know I'm not the biggest fan of his, but at the same time, like, I want them to, lift the trophy. By them, I mean him and Ranocchia above everyone else because they've been here since day one. They've been here for more than a decade. So it's nice to see them, their effort, more or less, finally paying off. And, a second trophy within a year is something that we haven't had in what, 12 years? So we cannot say anything but praises for everyone. And actually, we were dominant in that match, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But to go back to what Ian said, the mind change going from mentally preparing for penalties where it's a coin flip. Like if it got to penalties, I'll just go ahead and say it. I'll jump on the deep end. Now I don't think we're winning that match if it goes to penalties. Something about Juventus and penalties. They've got a lot of guys that are still like bad or not aging or not are still good under pressure from that spot. I mean, they've got guys like Bonucci, who is going to come on, who I think we'll also get into in a bit. Chiellini, like, I mean, they've got guys that were with that Italian team that won the Euros on penalties, and like to do that, you're ice cold. So I was like that goal coming out of nothing. Oh, after like that match, I know we were dominant, but to me, like, I tweeted it. Like, I was, you, like, if you go back in my Twitter, like, you see my full range of emotions that match, like, from the penalty that we didn't get to the goal for Juventus, where I'm just like, we've seen this match 100 times. This is how it always goes against Juventus. I was just ready to write it off. And then, like, mentally preparing, like, just how ugly that game was for stretches of time. But I'll start back with Dave, since that's where I started first. What were your overall thoughts of the match, like, before getting to the, of course, you know, Alexis winner and everyone is going berserk?
Well, I believe it happened in episodes, like I like to say. We started the match like everybody would expect. We were on top. We were creating chances upon chances. One of them being an absolute sitter missed by Lautaro. After that, we saw the Barella incident. I'll admit that live, I didn't particularly think that that was a penalty. But when I saw the replay, given today's standards and given the VAR, to me, that was as clear as a penalty as there was last night, the one on Barella, because the ball is long gone and Chiellini makes contact with him. It goes through him. I don't know. If he doesn't take the ball, then what does he take? He takes the man. So that's a clear penalty. And it's unfair. Not unfair, well, because it is the same team. Let's compare it to the penalty that was given against us, that minimal contact on Dumfries that they had to pretty much zoom in on. You know, there was more contact on Barella than there was on Dumfries. So that automatically put me in a bad mood. Like, okay, you know what? This is what's going to be, you know? And of course, I'm sure it flustered the players a bit as well, because I saw some shades of Lazio. You know, when after we the decision went against us with DeMarco being on the floor and we still conceded, we pretty much lost our mind. We started giving the ball away left and right, and we didn't have any direction. That kind of happened for the next 10 minutes or so, and that's why I think they were able to get their goal, because we looked discombobulated for a bit. And they were able to get a goal. And at that point, I felt like, hey, listen, we're in big trouble, because we know how Allegri goes. He can shut it down, and we can't break him down if he chooses to do so. Thankfully for us, we were able to get that penalty with Dzeko. Dzeko used his wit, his veteran ability to pretty much create that penalty. Because to me, that's definitely something that he manufactured. He put himself in that position. One can say it shouldn't have been given. One could say it should have been given, but nowadays, nobody really knows. Lautaro, I don't know why he was the one that took it. I guess Inzaghi really wants to rub it in our face that, hey, this is my guy, and no matter what you guys say, I'm sticking with him. So that was probably his first penalty shooting on the other side, because he always goes that same side, and which is why the keepers always guess right. He went with power, and then from then on, I felt like, you know what, we could kick on and win it. Second half, it was all us, let's be honest. They were happy with letting us having the ball, playing with 10 men behind the ball, chasing it and trying to hit us on counters with Morata. At no point did I really feel threatened. Of course, Bernardeschi, he had a couple little moments where I don't know where the hell that came from, where he went solo by himself, and he looked dangerous. And, you know, with Handanovic, if it was able to get it on target, it would have been a wrap for us. And, of course, as soon as Dybala came onto the pitch, every time he touches the ball, you're really on your edge, because you know that he's one of those players that just need one magical moment, kind of like what we saw against Roma, right? Like how they lost him for like half a second, and then that's all he needed to get the shot off. But in general, I feel like we deserve to win, where nobody can say that we didn't deserve it. If anything, people could say that Juve performed better than most expected, which I'm not part of that category, because in finals, they still know how to show up, and Allegri is an experienced coach. But yeah, that was my long-winded reaction of the match, man. Like, I went through my emotions, and Alexis pretty much took it home for us, man. Like, I'm still pumped over it, and I can't believe it, to be honest. It's just like seeing the guys with the trophy. Earlier, I was looking at the picture with the Scudetto and the Supercoppa. It's a beautiful thing seeing us starting to add up trophies, man.
Yeah. Like, I mean, one trophy, you know, I mean, anybody can, I don't want to say anybody, but you're more likely to, you know, just get one trophy and then you're back to back down, and then it could be another few years before you get a trophy. But when you get that one, and then you get that one like months later, like it feels like the beginning of a cycle.
Yeah.
Ian, do you agree? Does this feel like the beginning of a cycle? Does it look like Inzaghi and this team can like, you know, continue this, or are we looking at like maybe a double or like a domestic treble this season? What are we looking at? And maybe that's too far. Just take it wherever you want to take it. This is vibe today, man.
I think maybe it's a little too early to talk about the domestic treble, but I really do think that winning breeds winning. So like whichever trophy you can get your hands on, the players gain experience. They get that the killer instinct in these important games. You know, we see everyone on Twitter now, from Juve to Milan to Napoli fans to Roma fans, saying, "Oh, but it's just a Supercoppa. It's a friendly, basically." It's not. It's a trophy at the end of the day. You get there by being champions of either the cup or the league. You know, you have to do something. I know we all clowned a trophy like this before, but come on, it's still a trophy at the end of the day to cement you.
To add to what you're saying, Ian, I know exactly which fan base has been trying to downplay it because they won it earlier this decade, and we kind of clown them for it. But the difference is we got there as champions. They were pretty much there by default, if I'm remembering correctly. It's because Juve had won the Coppa and the Serie A that year, and because they lost in the Coppa final, they just put them there because they couldn't put Juve against Juve in the Supercoppa. So.
But
go ahead.
No, but like to just touch on yesterday's match, it was. I think if we just go by the comments, we can pretty much recap it. You know, in the Harry said, "Don't talk about penalties. Benucci's gonna get angry." I was laughing at that bit yesterday. You just see everyone, every Inter player celebrating, and then their Benucci is apparently screaming at some Inter official that he's gonna murder him or something like that. You know, they were just gonna try and sub him in just for the penalties. I find that hilarious, like in a full kit and everything.
Yeah, I wonder if anything's gonna come out of that. Like,
apparently, he only got a 10,000 euro fine.
Yeah, fine, yeah.
Just a fine, like no suspension. Fine.
No suspension or nothing, man. I was surprised. Yeah. I was surprised, but not surprised. You know?
Yeah, you made tax.
But I mean, if we say anything, we're just being salty, and we should be happy that we won. So let's leave it at that.
It is Interpod, so we're always looking out for this. So listen, I'm always
looking. To touch on what Benjamin said, our new viewer, nephew from Sharma, who's the better keeper? Oh, honestly, I don't know. Perrin hasn't played in ages, but yesterday he was looking at Superman at times, just making saves left, right, and center. I do love the fact that he was beefing with, I think, Skriniar after Skriniar threw Chiellini when they were like squabbling on the goal line, and he was acting like all tough, like, "What the fuck are you doing?" I find that hilarious, man. Pipe down. You're going to go back to the bench for the rest of the season.
Remember, he tried to put on Alexis, too, at some point. When Alexis went after a ball and kind of nicked him, I guess, he tried to get after Alexis as well. I don't know what this what
the yeah, yeah, was. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I mean, come on, dude. It's a game. I won't even give him the time of day. Fern said they moved the ball with no real venom for any attack. I agree. Even their goal came from a fluke from Steven De Vrij, the French fry. I don't know what's going on with him. We can touch on that later. No, but basically what everyone's saying is Juve, the only reason they got so many chances, I think, was because they were playing with 10 men behind the ball, just looking for our counterattacks after we overcommit. I saw numerous times Bastoni was in the box. Calhanoglu was already in the box. You know, everyone was just rushing in. Then obviously it leads to some mismatches. When it comes to marking and to counterattacks, you know, so it was bound to happen sooner or later. But yeah, I'm just glad we got the win. At times, I didn't think we were going to get through it. But yeah, just like Emiliano just said, after 10 years of nothing, every trophy counts. It really does. Winning breeds winning. I think if this group stays together and continues to do well, it can do great things.
Absolutely. Yeah. As I was looking at the our starting 11, Omni Dzeko and even Perisic, you have to put an asterisk maybe because of his age, that to say that okay, this is a player that we may need to replace very soon. But other than that, our whole starting 11 is in their prime, you know. So I did say Dzeko. I said Dzeko and Perisic. So everybody else is in their prime, you know, and or most important players, which I would say are probably Bastoni, Lautaro, and Barella. They're just entering their prime, with Brozo being right there at the peak, at his peak, Skriniar at his peak, De Vrij at his peak. That's a cycle. That's where we need to pretty much be taking advantage of that and squeeze as much as we can out of it. Especially given the fact that the other teams are weak at the moment. So yeah, let's win 2-3 Scudetti in a row. Let's beef up the cabinet as much as we can with this core group of players.
Yeah, how Juventus started. You know, everyone else was weak. They just capitalized. It started with for them. It started with Pepe Marotta. With us, it starts with Pepe Marotta. I hope.
Life comes full circle. What happened to Risto?
Yeah, he turned into a cat. What happened? Oh, I was just about to ask him something, too.
There's always something with this guy.
I guess he sensed it. But just to keep going off of that, I mean, like, we look at this team, and, of course, like, we talk about so much. They didn't skip a beat between what happened this summer and adapting to what is happening now. Like, Inzaghi now beating Juventus in three Supercoppa finals. I mean, it's still technically a cup final, so this guy holds the record for most like defeats of Juve in cup finals. Like, this guy's an anti-Juve like manager, and it's quite funny to see after, of course, having the guy that has a star in the Juventus stadium as the last manager. Respect to him, though. I mean, he built the foundations of this team now. Conte still has a mark on this team, I believe. For as much as I do or don't want to talk about that guy, still want to give him some credit. But let me go ahead. Oh, Christo's back. Let me add him back. Oh, and he changed our order. All right, now
Lord Figo in the comment section. What does he want?
Wait,
now?
We got Figo.
Yeah, can we just go through the comments? They've been kind of piling up.
Yeah, we got Figo. Good to see you, bro. Let me start back at the beginning of all these comments that started even before we got on. Sharma sent a bunch of guys over. Big ups.
Appreciate it, Sharma.
Yeah, and thanks for whoever's come over. Benjamin, first time listener from Palo Alto. Awesome. Keeping the world going on. Yeah, some West Coast action. Mataja Jovic, Sharma sent me your way. Yep, our guy. I probably pronounced it wrong. I saw you cringe over there, Ian. I'm sorry if you want to take a stab
let our Balkan brothers pronounce those kind of names, okay, Mikey?
Yeah, okay. I won't try anymore. All right, I'm trying to learn, you know, learn. Mm-hmm. You live and you learn. But yeah, Uncle Sharma's nephews got Ian running our comments right here for a little bit. I'm not even gonna try. We've got some language going on.
Actually, with that comment as well.
Okay, I
hope it basically says that it's the sweetest way to win a match.
Yeah, it is
the sweetest way to win against such a rival. Yeah,
I mean. You can't write it better. I want to stay on that for a second. Like, you're playing in San Siro. The goal is scored in the last second of that time. I'm sure you might get like 1 minute of extra time. Like, you can't write that. Like, that's the last kick of the game under the curva, to beat Juventus for a trophy. You can't write, like, no one could have written that better.
You know what? I'm not sure I agree, man, because I guess in conclusion, like, it's so sweet, but the emotions we were going through and during this match, man, I don't know if that's the best way to win. I probably would have been better if we were up 2-0 most of the match, having them chasing the ball around and stuff like that. But it is sweet winning in the last minute like that. I'll say it is sweet as well, but I still remember all the heart palpitations. I'd rather not go through that as often.
But bro, we're Inter Isti. This is what we deal with. This is how it goes.
I would
goes.
Have said that.
Yeah.
I guess
from being resigned to being like, God, these guys are taking us to penalties again. Mm-hmm. These guys are, you know, stinking up the pitch. Like, this is not this is not a fun match to watch. I called it disgusting on the timeline when it was happening. No,
at some point it became clear around the 75th, 80th minute that they were playing four penalties, you know, like, but yeah, we pulled it off, man. We pulled it off.
Yeah, we pulled it off for sure. That was, I don't know. That's one I won't forget. Christo, while I'm going through these comments, I want to get back to where I was, but I want you to take me through your emotions in that final 15 minutes.
I mean, my emotions go up and down throughout every single intermatch. And you know, you're excited in a minute, and then the mood changes, the mood swings kick in, and you all of a sudden are anxious, and you just cannot wait for the match to be over, because as Dave said, after the 70th minute, they were playing. I think they understood that the stakes are so high, and that one mistake can lead to a goal, and basically give out the trophy that you were playing for. And that's what happened in the last minute of the match. Alexandro made a mistake, and Inter won the trophy. I think both managers, both Inzaghi and Allegri, were afraid of that. And you know, it turned out to be that their fears are actually true. And even if it was the last minute of the match, I think it's the best way to win the match. I would have preferred it if it was like, you know, a non-existing penalty. But hey, there's no better way to win a match. No, especially against Juventus. Their entitlement, their arrogance, their ignorance is...
I mean, it was personified through Benucci. There at
absolutely. Absolutely.
Didn't Football Italia write an article about that?
Juventus
is arrogant.
Just a very short little article. Oh, I want to know who wrote that. I want to know. Because it doesn't have an author on it, but let me pull
it does.
Up.
It does.
It does?
Someone by the name of S. But to anyone watching and listening later, please go check out the comments on the actual article. There are some very, very salty Juventus fans there. If anyone wants to open a salt mine, you have it right there.
Oh, I'll check that out.
Yeah, let me find the title of that article real quick while I'm thinking about it.
But exactly,
or if you do have it right there, Ian. Oh, okay. No, I got it. It's an editorial. Benucci Rao reflects Juventus arrogance. I mean, it's only a few lines, but it's poetry.
It is. And that's why nobody likes him, and nobody except their fans likes him, because of their arrogance, because of their entitlement that they're supposed to win trophies, because, you know, they're the pride and joy of Italy, and like so many reasons that are obnoxious, and it just adds more fuel to my happiness when we beat them. And not only beating them, but winning a trophy in the process is just, you know, the cherry on top of the cake. So I'm all said and done. Hopefully this streak continues, because there's some tricky matches that are awaiting us in the coming weeks. But hopefully we can cruise through that, because, you know, this form seems unstoppable. 23 shots on goal against Juventus SA. That's more than three times what Juventus had.
Yeah, it didn't feel like dominant. 26 shots. It did not. I don't know where they got.
Yeah,
like,
it's, yeah, but the numbers. Crazy. I mean, the numbers don't lie. I said the same thing as well. It's because they pretty much grinded the game to a halt. You know, like, we were trying to play, but they were not allowing it. You know, at some point it felt like, hey, what an ugly match. But looking at the stats, it looks like one team was trying and another wasn't. But I wanted to also give Juve some credit, because we were talking. Go ahead.
It seemed like one team wanted to win and the other didn't want to lose. It didn't seem like they wanted to win. So I think that's the perfect sum up.
No, absolutely. I agree. Well, one wanted to win. And actually, to even piggyback on what you were saying earlier, you were saying how both Allegri and Inzaghi, they were afraid to lose, afraid of that last mistake. I want to clap for Limone, because we went out all the way to the 120th minute trying to attack, trying to win the match. And that's why we're rewarded for it. You guys remember last pod we were talking, and then I was telling you guys how when you try, the football gods, they reward you. You know, that's literally what happened to us. I'm sure it wasn't by design. I'm sure DeMarco wasn't crossing for Darmian to, well, not even Darmian, for Alexandro to make that mistake and for Darmian to do what he did and all of this, all of that. All that stuff happened because we were trying. We sent a ball in the box. We attacked the ball, and it bounced in our favor. If we were playing chicken as well, like not trying anything, just trying to conserve the ball, who knows? We would have been in penalties, and we definitely would have lost. Honestly, I had the feeling in my gut that we would have lost in penalties. But Risto, you kind of made me lose my train of thought, man.
But we'll get back to it. I'm sure.
But go ahead, Mikey.
I was just gonna start back with some comments. Kind of in the same vein.
The game was very tactical. That's this where I was. I wanted to give Juve some credit, you know, because of course, no need to talk about the players that were missing. We spoke about it prior. They gave us a run for our money, man. At some point, it looked like they could have won if they had the right moment that fell their way. They were unlucky from their perspective, they could say, but they showed why they dominated Italy for the past 10 years, and that they still have some remnants of that mentality left. What else I wanted to say is that we were talking about that tough stretch of matches that we had starting with Lazio, Juve, and then following Atalanta. We got lucky because our match against Bologna, let's be honest, it didn't happen. Whereas Juve had a high pressure match that same day. You know, they had Napoli that same day. So Juve had Napoli, followed by Roma, followed by us, and I think they got Milan next. You know, so it's a tough run of matches for them, and they're losing players along the way as well. So let's consider ourselves lucky. Let's knock on wood, because we've been able to stay healthy. But watching players today, I was watching Milan and Copa, and Tomori went off injured as well. You know, they're one of their most important defenders. So
speaking of that Milan match, 1-1 after 90 minutes, and it's in the Copa, so they're going into extra time, I believe, unless they're not going straight to penalties, are they?
No, they're going to
There will be extra time. So
yeah,
I guess that kind of levels the playing field a little bit more for Juventus, though, because I mean it'll be the same amount of time played. Talk about Juventus's run. I mean, they did have to put in a lot of effort in that Roma match to turn it around, being down 3-1. I mean, everyone's got it pretty tough right now. Like, it's not, no one's been given a cupcake run right now. Whether Serie A meant to or not, they're going to decide the league in the next like month or two. But I mean, we're in the best spot possible. I mean, I've been saying since, you know, this Supercopa started coming up on the radar, like winning this would be huge for, you know, the vision of everyone at the club, you know, seeing a trophy go up after everything that's happened, that hunger coming back. I mean, players that haven't lifted trophies ever, I mean, like Hakan, or players that haven't lifted trophies in like a decade, like Dzeko, like, I mean, it's big for them to see that too, and to, you know, use that in this home stretch back half of the season. Back through the comments.
It's really...
Oh, no, go ahead.
And especially, you know, this weekend we were playing Atalanta.
Yeah.
What was that?
He said that we're playing Atalanta in the weekend. And it's very
Important. Yeah, Atalanta. I mean, yeah, everyone's got it big right now. Sorry, it broke up a little bit for me. Let's see, what else do we have in the comments? There's where we started, so now I'm actually up.
I like the comment.
I like this comment.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna go with this one. Since Beppe left Juve, it's a sinking ship. Most important signing because we're on top now. Yeah, like I said a couple of streams ago, like you don't look at Beppe Marotta in the face and say, "I don't believe what you're gonna do." Like I think I can leave and go do something better. You don't do that.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
I mean, that's the thing, man. Sometimes you don't see it right away, but it takes time for these things to develop. He was running a very tight ship over there, just like he's doing for us. Very financially stable, financially responsible moves left and right. Always picking up players on the free, like he's doing for us. And then they got delusions of grandeur. They wanted to get to go spend $100 million on Ronaldo and pay him this amount of money. And then the next year they spent 80 something on De Ligt, you know. So that's the kind of stuff that he didn't want, and that's why he left, you know. And all this stuff is coming back to bite them, you know. I'm not sure if they would say it was worth it, because I'm pretty sure they wanted to win a Champions League. That didn't happen. So it's for Bennett, man. And I think that's the perfect segue as well, since we were talking about that. It looks like they might be losing their best player and captain. And rumors are that Bepe is interested as well. What do you guys think?
Okay, so we're talking about Dybala now, that news that came out today, which came out last night, which is brutal. Like, you just lost a final, and now, like,
yeah, the timing was not
good. Players dunking on your head and being like, yeah, I'm not renewing. Like, this is it. That's brutal. But, I mean, if we can get him in, I mean, that's a great move, I think. I mean, he's had his injury problems. He's getting a little bit older. I mean, he's not old by any stretch of the imagination, but, I mean, he's not as young as he once was. I think it would still be a good move. I don't know where we would be pulling the cash out from, knowing that, you know, wage reduction is still, you know, a big thing going on right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if we could, I mean, that'd be great. But also, like, it kind of goes into this greater trend where you see Milan losing big players on free contracts. Lazio probably going to lose Milinkovic-Savic here in a couple of years on a free, unless he extended. I can't remember. But a lot of these teams, and Juve as well, like, I mean, losing Dybala on a free, like, all these teams are losing their big players and leaving us as Inter, like, the one big team. Come on. The one big team. Sorry, a cat appearance. But leaving one big team with all their weapons, and then everyone else is, like, starting to retool. Like, that can coupled with Inter's rise is, like, you know, that could start like a 4 or 5 Scudetti run if it, you know, keeps going that way. If other teams keep, like, weakening and we either, you know, hold serve or strengthen, like, that's only going to help us in this cycle that we're trying to open. I mean, I get someone else's ideas on that. I don't know if I made sense there. I had a cat in the way, and that's kind of a convoluted idea I just came up with earlier.
You guys talked on the bullet before I take a swing at it.
Come on, Hurst, though.
Yeah.
You cut off for me. You have to repeat that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to hear your thoughts on the rumors of us possibly being interested in Dybala. Do you think it would happen? Do you see it happening? Do you think it's a fit? Do you want it to happen?
Oh, definitely. I think Mike and I spoke about him, like, what, 2 seasons ago. We mentioned him as a possible replacement for Icardi when there were rumors of Icardi leaving Inter. I mean, he's always a good signing. Mike said about the cash flow and the salary and whatnot. I mean, Sanchez earns like 7.5 million a season, and he's rumored to leave the club. So if you get Dybala on a free, I doubt that it will be that much over 7.5. And at the end of the day, you know, it's worth to break the bank for someone like him, because he's a world-class player no matter the injuries. He's a difference maker, maybe not the best captain in the world, but still a captain that has certain qualities that will transfer to the team. And one more captain is always welcome to the club. So I'm down for that. Whether it will happen, I highly doubt it, because it's Juventus, and I'm not sure that Dybala would want to, you know, smirk his, like, his image, legacy. Public image. Yeah. And there are a lot of, I don't know, better suitable clubs for him. I know that Argentines or Inter are always a good fit. I don't know whether he sees it like that, but, you know, the Premier League clubs can offer him more money than anyone else. And, you know, if he can go, if he can look beyond the shitty menus in England, then he's good to go.
But the thing is, he also like did reject Man U a couple of years ago, and that was the whole thing that got the ball rolling that ensured that we got Lukaku. I mean, if he doesn't want to go to England, I mean, and he's brave enough to, you know, take that image hit for a little bit, because if you make that hop from Inter, from a rival, like we see, like look at Hakan now. I mean, it might be worth it. It might be something to look into.
Yeah, for real. This guy's living his best life, man.
Yeah, yeah. I saw a video earlier. I don't know if it was I think it was taken today of some dude that just like in the streets of Milan saw, yeah, and like he's like dancing in the streets today. Yeah, he's going crazy. Yeah,
bro, yeah. But on the Dybala situation, man, it's very complex for me, because I'll admit, and the tweets are there, he's one of my favorite players. Full stop. You know,
even more than Vlahovic.
What are you talking? Yeah, Vlahovic is like a youngster that I like and I would like to get at Inter, but Dybala is one of my favorite players, period. Okay.
And, I remember this when we signed Vlahovic and Dybala stays at Juventus. And
when I don't come on, man. He's still gonna, that's still going
to
be a win for him.
What does that have to do with anything? I mean, I haven't been as vocal about it because, of course, this is a Juve player, this is a Juve captain, but every time, I remember when we had those little rumors of a possible swap between Dybala and Icardi and all that stuff. I wanted all of that. But I'll start by saying this. First, I don't think it's happening because, again, for the same reasons I mentioned, this is a Juve captain. This is a Juve legend. I really don't see him leaving them and joining us on the free. That's one thing. But on the other end, they're saying that he's upset because they had offered 10 mil a year, and then due to his injuries, they pulled that back, and now it's 7.5, and that's what started it. But on the money, on a money standpoint, it would make sense. Like, let's say we get Sanchez's wages off. I had posted something, I had retweeted something that I think Thunk, he's the one that had posted it. Of all the high wages in the league, and Sanchez was right there, number two. You know, so if we could dump that and then move some wages around in a creative manner, I'm sure we could make him an offer that he would be satisfied with. But not only that, but football-wise, I believe that would be the best move ever for Dybala. I know you guys are talking about all the teams in England that could offer him money and all of that stuff. I definitely agree. I know Man U are going to be there offering him a contract because they seem to want him. They've wanted him for years. But if he wants to think about a football fit, joining us, being in a 3-5-2 with a two-man striker formation where he doesn't have to track back as much as like playing a winger, or he doesn't have to play as a number 10. Ah, man, listen, I think we would see the best out of Dybala, regardless of who he's partnered up with, whether you put him with Lautaro or you put him with Correa, whoever, you know. So that's a player, man. If it's something we can pull off, I say we go for it regardless of the injuries, because right now we have this guy Correa. He's been as injured as Dybala, in my opinion. You know, so unless probably Dybala missed a couple more games, but they've been injured about the same. So that's a luxury player that we have. Why not add Dybala, man? This is a match winner. So that's a player that if we can get, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think we're kind of seeing this trend now where some players do stay where they're more comfortable rather than taking those Premier League contracts, unless it is something you truly, truly can't refuse. And like with Dybala, why would he want to go to Man United to sit behind Ronaldo for more of his career? Like,
that's a great point.
He lost a lot of time. Like I've talked about this before. Like, yeah, he lost like so much of that like early like prime where you're really getting the feel and you're playing constantly and you're really like, you know, getting your game to that next level. He missed out on a lot of that because Ronaldo was taking up, you know, all the oxygen at Juventus. But I have another question unless anyone else has anything else on the Dybala situation, I've got a.
Yeah, I think we will have more concrete news in the coming weeks, because like if the trend of Juventus losing and not winning keeps up, I think just like Inter was in previous years, the rumors will start to boil up and there'll be more and more concrete, I don't know, news and whatever about Dybala leaving Juventus.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of time between now and then. And, I mean, January is, you know, a hectic month for transfers and news and all that. So if anything comes out, I'm sure we'll hear about it in pretty short succession. But the question I wanted to get to, it goes back to the match in a way. But we also mentioned, Dave mentioned him, and this is what popped it in my head. But Alexis Sanchez, I mean, yeah, like, you know, everything kind of indicates that he's going to leave on a free at the end of the season. But with the way that he's been playing, with the way that he links up more than anyone else does, you know, with the rest of the team, like, he drops deeper. He adds something that no one else really adds that we have in our attack. Would it be worth starting him more for the rest of the season? He even, you know, mentioned it again in his comments after the match. He was like, back to his Zlatan-esque, oh, I'm the cage lion, you know, I wanted to play more under Conte, like, I still want to play more, like, stuff like that. I mean, is he making a case? Like, I think he should start a little bit more. Like, I think he needs a run of games after this. I'll start with you, Ian. What do you think?
I think Sanchez is a kind of player that can complement both Dzeko and Lautaro. And we saw yesterday that he wasn't really working with Correa too much because they're too similar of players. So I think if we can, if we have the opportunity to, like, rest Dzeko, who we know is 36 or however old he is, and get him next to Lautaro, who we do see he can't really create his own chances as much. I think he needs someone else to provide it for him. I think he should start more. Whether it's worth it for a guy that gets a hamstring injury every Chilean international break, that gets absolutely slaughtered in the South American qualifiers, to spend so much money on him is a big question. Drawing a parallel to Dybala, it's basically the same. He plays for Argentina, so it's a luxury at this point, I think, to have, like, a super sub like that. Even regarding Alexis, I mean, I love the guy. This season, I think he's been averaging a goal or assist every 90 minutes, even with the limited playing time of 20 minutes per game he usually gets. So I think that's more than solid, very good. So yeah, I think he should start more. Whether we will see that, we shall see. Let's see how Inzaghi plans out the rest of the season.
Yeah. No, I believe that in the short run, definitely, fair is fair. If you talk about what he looked like against Lazio and his impact when he came on and he won us the match, that alone, you should start him the next match. You know, regardless of whether you want to go with Dzeko or Lautaro to partner up with, the fact that he came out and said it as well verbatim, I think, like, you want to show that you're a fair manager, and the guy is performing. The guy is pretty much, he's forming at the mouth to perform some more. You have to unleash him and see at least give him the first 60 minutes of the next match versus Atalanta and see what happens. Now in the long run, I think we have to let him go in the summer. Those wages, we can't afford to be paying a guy like that on the bench, that kind of money. Not only that on the bench, but he's a guy that, like Ian mentioned, every time he goes on international duty, he gets injured. We know it. We expect it. And we've kind of even accepted it a bit, you know, but that's not a luxury that we can afford right now. I think Correa is already a luxury player for 31 million euros or however we spent on him, for him to be sitting on the bench as well, getting injured. He shows up from time to time. That's why I keep talking. I keep bringing up Raspadori. When you look at a guy like Raspadori, who's performing in the league, he has what, 6 goals, 5 assists right now. That's an impact little player that we could have on the bench. And he's 21 years old, Italian, young. So Correa needs to step up. That's my way of saying that on the side. And Sanchez, he deserves to keep starting as long as he keeps performing. And we have to let him go in the summer as well. We have to show that we're fair. If a player is performing, regardless of who the Senators are, who the big names are, you have to keep letting them play.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of international breaks, because that's when, you know, that's when Alexis goes and gets his, you know, monthly injury. They have an international break, a match against Argentina the 27th of this month. So 2 weeks from now, there's a break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's a match against. I think they're qualifiers. I think they're World Cup qualifiers. So they have Argentina at home, and then they have to go to Bolivia, which I'm pretty, if I'm not mistaken, is one of the hardest places to go in South America in those qualifiers. So, I mean, who knows what's going to happen to them in that time. But, yeah, up until then, yeah, let him run out. Run him out. Maybe we injure him, and then he takes that break off, and we give Chile a taste of their own medicine. Not wishing, anything on Alexis, of course. We need that guy fit.
They would hate us forever because, I mean – they're already missing Vidal because of his red card. So imagine none of the Inter boys came. And
that would be so much advantage to us. But yeah, no way that happens. No way we get that lucky. Let's see. I want to go through some more comments. Catch this up.
Oh, Herso, you have some? I mean, since when are there like international breaks in fucking January? This has to be the first time.
I don't know, man. I mean,
maybe it's like
February. Am I wrong?
I mean, in January, like I know the last matches are being played in November, and then they are
in March. It's a World Cup qualifier, January 27th. Then
there are no Serie A games that weekend.
We kind
of the break.
Yeah, I guess we could use that break, but we always come back shaky from those.
I mean, after the break, we were playing against Milan on the Sunday.
We always get up for those games, to be honest. No disrespect to them. Matter of fact, they could take it as disrespect if they want to, but going into derbies, that's the least of my worries. You know, like, I'm not saying we're going to pummel them or we're going to beat them, but I know they're not going to beat us. The fact that as long as we could maintain our 4-point advantage, I guess virtually one right now, we'd be fine, man. And I think Juve would be able to do us a favor in the upcoming match because I don't think Milan could beat them that easily. So if we can handle business, be brave, and beat Atalanta, a team who has many flaws, of course, they have many qualities as well. But if we're able to beat them and let's say Milan and Juve draw, that's another beautiful thing. Would be 6 points ahead.
Juventus are playing Udinese this weekend, and Milan are playing Spezia.
They don't face each other this weekend.
Let me check.
You guys confirm?
They face each other Sunday the 23rd.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so next the following week. Okay, I'm waiting on that because I had that on Milan's calendar as the next time I'm expecting them to drop points, more or less. So I guess that's why I was bringing up that match. But yeah.
Yeah. To get back to some of these comments, I'm just trying to get caught back up. Mohammed here says the way the game played out, was it more Juve's good closure or our lack of energy and creativity? It was definitely Juventus doing the most anti-football I've ever seen in my life. Like, even early in the match, I mean, there were, times where, we had the ball, close to our goal and they would press. But, once we got that ball forward, it was all hands on deck in the middle of that park. Just don't let anybody shoot. And that was my big gripe with the match. Like, I mean, it did take that level of persistence that we had to, break them down and win that match. I think that's something we probably all agree on.
For sure.
It was prime Catenaccio to watch. 11 men behind the ball.
it was disgusting, and it was the pitch was bad. Like, what was not a good ad for the league.
And I think Milan has to play on it this weekend, which is even better for us if you look at it that way.
They're playing on it right now. Atalanta.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right now?
Yeah,
they're playing
they're playing Genoa right now.
They got the lead. Leao scored 102nd minute.
Yeah, I saw that. Some lucky goal. But no, for real, literally, he was trying to cross it. Even himself, afterwards, he was smiling. He knew
one of those.
One of those that was meant to be a cross. But I wanted to add a point to what you guys were saying beforehand. What were you saying, Mikey or Ian?
Catenaccio?
Got the national. Thank you, man. You know, I know I could always count on you, Ian. But Allegri, it's not something. It's not anything new. That's something that the Juve fans have been complaining about for months. That they're not playing any type of football. They're like they're okay with just getting one goal if they can, and just packing it in. I know. I think his name is Carlo Gaganese, the one that does the podcast with Nima. He's always constantly tweeting about it, about how Allegri plays ugly ball. Allegri needs to be out. Allegri's a dinosaur. So yeah, they've been complaining about him, and that's exactly what they saw again yesterday. You know, they're unfootball. And Bristol, you're not gonna me. I know.
No. I'm talking about Carlo Gaganese because he has written. I think he either owns Goal.com or he's something at Goal.com, and he always had like anti-Inter stuff that he wrote about.
I mean, he's a Juve fan, so I'm not even surprised.
Yeah, but like when you write an article, and especially on Goal.com, that at the time was so much like so
it widespread was big at that point, yeah.
Just be, don't be obnoxious. Like, come on.
Well, I mean, I've never seen any of them, so let's not dwell on that too much. But yeah, I just wanted to say that he was one of the main guys, one of the main Juve guys that I see always complaining about the style of football, and that's what we saw yesterday. They came and honestly, they almost executed it to the T because all those numbers that we were talking about, 67% possession, 20 something shots. And all of that, we almost went to penalties with it, and all of that would have been for nothing, you know. So let's not criticize them too much, because, like I said, they were leaking players left and right, and they did what they could, what they had to do with the squad that they had, you know. And the fact that we were able to break them down, that should be the main story, and that's what it is. I'm loving everything that comes out right now, because they're upset. They're making all types of excuses. They're saying it took us 120 minutes, fake penalty. Oh, I love all of that, man. They reject it. Give it to me.
Say, like, give me some more. Give me some more.
Like, rare, bro.
No, but like to touch on what you said, I think it's because their team just suits that style of play. You know, since Allegri left his first stint, they haven't really changed the squad that much. Sure, if they had Chiesa, they would have probably played it differently. No denying that from my part, but like you still have Chiellini, who hats off, amazing performance yesterday up until the end.
And that's Cuadrado as well. That's a guy that always hurts us every time we play him. So let's be honest so now. Let's be honest. So
the fight or flight hitting at the name Cuadrado for Ian. That was this.
I hate him. There's a little twerp that we play football with in Slovenia that has the same face as him, just more white. It just makes me
chua. We need to get Ian a Cuadrado, like a dartboard or something.
No, but yeah, I think we also went around their system the way they wanted to defend. Like, we still got 26 shots on not on target, but like we still got 26 shots off against them. That they were just playing Catenaccio, you know, they were just playing 11 players behind the ball. Yeah. Fucking Perisic. I tweeted it out. If Perisic was Brazilian, people would be calling for a compilation about him yesterday. So many fancy flicks and turns. Yeah.
Nemarisic.
That was bad. No. Wait, you disagree, Risto? I want to hear you, bro. What's up? You said no.
He's Macedonian. He's going to disagree.
I mean, I wouldn't disagree that much, but I just don't think, like, I've seen him, you know, ask for like $6 million a year.
Yeah, that's
way
that's
too much.
Happening.
Like,
that's not happening.
Come on.
Yeah,
you were so shit. You went to Bayern, won everything that you could have won, although not playing.
I don't know,
that
they
much.
Rewired his brain there at Bayern. Like, that guy came have. Back. Because I saw, that like, I think it was Snitch, Parasnitch, that tweeted that, or maybe it wasn't him. Somebody tweeted that, number 44 Perisic and now number 14 Perisic are two very different people.
I think that probably has something to do with him making the high wage demands. Like, hey, I went to Bayern, I won a treble, I'm a World Cup finalist, I'm this, I'm that. But if he can find a PL team that's gonna give it to him, I'm sure Conte probably will want him over there. He can go get it, but our financial situation will not allow it. I mean, I'm in love with the season he's having. I would love to have him at the club a couple more years, but I think we'll be fine. Like, with that money he's asking, if he's seriously sticking by it and he's not willing to accept anything like 3.5 or 4, which is what we're rumored to be able to pay, then he can go. I mean, he's already come full circle at Inter. He's won us a Scudetto. He's just won another trophy with us. So his Inter story, he's going to be one of those guys that we're going to be having debates like, is he a legend? Is he not? Like, that's a good enough Inter career for me, you know? If that's the end of it, then so be it. I'm always going to cheer for him no matter where he goes. Let's go get Kostic and whoever else, you know?
Yeah, you know, with that situation, sorry, I didn't mean to cut anybody off, but no, before this leaves my brain, because I'm being hawked by my cat again, but but like, maybe it wouldn't be such a bad time to move on from Perisic, like, because we look at what happened after the treble. We had guys that stuck around too long in some situations. So maybe now that, you know, we've got a taste of winning, we can look at the squad. And I mean, we have the management that will do this the right way. I mean, they'll look at the squad. They'll be like, all right, well, you know, you had a good run, but you're aging a bit. Maybe, you know, you go chase that last big contract before you retire to set yourself up. Or, you know, you just want to go somewhere else for the end of your career. I know Perisic at some point, it probably won't be his next club, but the club after that, I know he wants to go back to Croatia and retire in Croatia. So, I mean, there's going to be some players who I think we will be sad to see go, but it won't hurt the club. Like, it won't hurt the product on the pitch, especially if, you know, we bring in Kostic, we do our homework, we bring in the right players. That being said, like, I appreciate what Perisic has done, of course, but if it's time to go, it's time to go. Thanks for the past however many years. Thanks for bullying Icardi, but, you know.
Yeah. Thanks for choking Cuadrado, since we were just
talking about. Yeah, yeah.
You know what? Because of that, yeah, he is an Inter legend. Yeah, he's a legend. That's legendary. That's one of the best things to come out of the Inter era.
His birthday is in 2 weeks. How old do you think he is? Just go
34 now, right?
33 he's turning, right?
Ian?
Yep. Yeah, 33. I just looked it up. I wanted to make that point.
Yeah.
I mean, I never thought about him being 33, but at 33, there's no doubt in my mind that he doesn't deserve that much money and longer contract than, like, what, a year, 2 years? I mean, he'll start, his decline will start within the next year. So I don't know how smart it is to give him six, like, any contract right now, because he relies too much on his physicality. Wow. Goes down, declines within the years as they go by. So
yeah, but I mean, we saw those Croatian guys are something different, man. They're different sauce, man. And he doesn't show any signs of slowing down. This is a guy that plays professional beach volleyball on his off time and stuff. Like, so he's an athlete, man. What I wanted to give you a little pushback on is I'm not agreeing that he's not worth keeping at any contract. I feel like at the right price, 3.5, 4 tops.
Yeah, as a starter though, as full time starter either.
Just to have him on a squad, and if we're gonna bring in Kostic to compete with him or whoever, because I mean, I guess we all keep saying Kostic because that's the name that we all keep seeing, and there's also Barami, I think he is from Borussia.
Yeah, as well. Yeah.
This guy he's supposedly a more defensive guy. I'm not too familiar with him.
Yeah, Bensabiani, I believe is his name. AFCON right now. I forget which nation he plays Algeria.
Algeria.
Yeah, I don't know too much about him either.
I remember him, like, when did we play them? Last year, I think, in the Champions League. He was very good.
Yeah. The season before. Yeah. Before this one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we seem to be looking to Germany for whatever's going to come on the left. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Perisic came from Germany as well. So, you know.
That is true.
Dolbert came from France. So.
Stay away from the baguettes.
Don't say that name here.
Hopefully it doesn't take those guys as long as it took Perisic to come good. You know? Because
he was decent in his first couple seasons.
Yeah, he was.
The hashtag Perisic to Icardi back in the day.
That was automatic. I guess the first couple of years or so, we failed to accomplish our goals. We never made top four and stuff like that. So we struggled with this guy. He's one of those players that we're going to remember him in good times and in bad times as well.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to catch up on a couple more of these comments. Muhammad here saying, put our best, no doubt. Lautaro and Dzeko need to convert those chances. It's getting kind of usual. One goal in about 8 to 10 shots. Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's something we've talked about most of the season. It's not being clinical.
It's not me.
And it was going to bite us. It was seconds away from biting us hard. Those two, I mean, Lautaro got his penalty, Dzeko drew it, but those two, and I would say De Vrij for the misjudgment on the McKinney goal, like, they can thank their lucky stars and go, like, buy Alexis dinner or something, because we're not talking about them, we're talking about the winner instead.
I think De Vrij, he kind of got confused by the deflection, because he kind of, the cross deflected off of Skriniar, you know, so that's probably why he misjudged it, just to give him a little bell.
What was his judgments in two matches for De Vrij? It seems like he's thinking about other clubs. It wouldn't be the first time.
I'm not gonna say that.
It seems like he's been watching the Brothers of the World podcast. That's what it seems like. Because we've been selling him on every pod, talking about Bremer and all that stuff. So yeah, I mean, let's take credit for his drop of form. You know, we mastered.
He did the same with Lazio when we played them. He slipped and he made a penalty.
Sure.
Okay, yeah, good guy.
You better hope Safiya doesn't see this, bro, because anything against De Vrij, she's going to find you.
Oh,
Tiger, clip this and Tiger. Oh, God.
One hour, one minute.
Let me get on before Risto digs a grave over here. Lord Figo, what's up, everyone? Yeah, what's up, Figo? Good to see you again. Brother. Missing you on the timeline. We've got Jovic here again. Figo. He said they switched off at the 119th minute because he thought it was going to be penalties. Missed the goal and the celebrations. That is brutal. I mean,
the L of the day goes to Matija Jović. Thank you so much, brother.
Wow. Or he brought us the win. Or
hey,
he
yeah, us the yeah, win.
For real. Yeah,
you never know.
Had to. I was going on all kinds of superstitious stuff. I was like, well, you know. If I get up and I change my thermostat, something's gonna happen. Or if I get up and I go do something else, something's gonna happen. And I mean, eventually it did. So there you go.
Me, I was just getting my It's Just a Super Copa tweets ready, to be honest. So like, yo, I wasn't even watching.
You guys were watching the game. I was watching. You've got two sections of drafts. You've got the drafts if we win where you're talking shit, and then you got the drafts where you're like, oh, this cup doesn't matter. Bullshit. Like, come on.
Friendly trophy, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, I said it to myself, like, if we lose, it's a friendly trophy. No one gives a fuck about that trophy. Meaning this match, I would much rather win the Serie A. But if we win, it's a win against Juventus, and you win a trophy.
But it's even better because of the reaction afterwards. I don't think we really saw like the viscera coming from Juventus, you know, people around the club, fans, the way that they have. I mean, they've been really in denial about it. And I know why. Like, I mean, we all know why. It's because they feel their grip slipping on this league. Yeah, their influence, it's going.
All that energy being sent towards this, it's not mute energy. It tells you that it is important to them. It hurts, you know, like, because if it wasn't all that, people would have moved on already, you know. But I see a question from Benjamin, bro. Let's answer that one. What do you guys think?
Let me get down to it. Yeah, I was trying to keep up where I was trying to stay in chronological, but let me get down here to the bottom. Is it this one?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Benjamin asking, who is the current favorite Inter player from each member? Who wants to go first?
Not me.
Risto.
Not
Risto, you can't pick the goalkeeper.
I was about to make that joke.
Any goalkeeper or just him?
Any.
No, you pick any pick your favorite current Inter player.
But it can't be the Slovenian mastermind and goal.
I think it has to be their Škriniar or Barella. I want to say Škriniar because I've liked him since day one, and I think that's my choice. What about you, Dave?
Damn. I was hoping somebody could answer, and then I would have time to really muster up my true answer. I Škriniar for me, bro. It has to be Škriniar, my favorite player on the current squad. I was really falling in love with Lukaku last year, as you guys could see on my Twitter, but he did us dirty. But Škriniar, man, Škriniar did the complete opposite. This is a guy that fired his agent to stay with us. This is a guy that's kissing the badge every chance he gets, talking about how lucky he feels to be here, how happy he is. Yeah, that's my guy. That's the kind of stuff I like. That affection towards the club, and on top of that, being a world-class player as well, that doesn't hurt. You know, so that's my guy.
Before answering, I want to see what people think in the chat. So drop in the name of your favorite Inter player. I know Mike is going to answer Gabigol, but...
it's not Gabigol on the back. It's a black back, sadly. But, you know, I had to break out the old Sprite kit. Had to remember the bad days on one of the best days, you know. You can't forget the mud. You can't forget where you came from.
Where you came from, 100%. Yeah. Yeah.
Pioli on the sidelines, like those days. Nah, but favorite player right now. You know, I have a weak spot, and this is going to be kind of a reactionary one to some people, but not Alexis. I mean, I've loved that guy since he was at Arsenal.
I loved him since day one, since Udinese, and I wanted him with Inter, and I know that Moratti was pushing back then.
Yeah,
we tried. Us over for Barcelona.
Yeah. Like seeing him back is really nice. Like seeing that, like, is really cool. Seeing him and Vidal together is also really cool. Like those two guys have won so much together in so many different places.
Mike, just say the name. Don't.
Okay. Well, Çalhanoğlu, because I have a soft spot for creative. I have a really big soft spot for creative midfielders. Like that is my weakness. Like when Eriksen came, like big hype. When Banega was here, loved that guy. Like those kinds of midfielders, I just love.
All right, fair is fair. How about you, Ian? You had plenty of time.
First of all, shout out to Ever Banega. Love the guy. Still have his jersey somewhere in the closet, even though it's kind of destroyed.
Inter legend as well for making that joke about Conte's hair.
How can you buy a shirt from a player that fucked up and broke his leg due to not pulling up the handbrake of his car? Mm-hmm. It's like,
dude,
Banega did that? Yeah. What is that?
Well back. Never mind. Dude,
don't ask. Whenever I buy a jersey, the player seems to leave the next year. It happened with Banega. When I was in Portugal, I bought a Lukaku jersey, and he fucked off during the summer. And when I came back home from my student exchange, I just saw the jersey waiting on me on the bed when he was already gone. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, ouch.
I mean, it happens to the best of us, brother.
No, but yeah, like people say in the chat, Matija Jovic says Epic Brozo. Figo says Vidal.
Boy,
I feel like
the shirt away.
Vidal is a very fitting favorite. I love that player. I like that.
But to answer the question, to anyone that follows me and knows me, this is a weird one. Danilo D'Ambrosio, number 33. Greatest
that's a good ass shout.
I love him.
Hey, I mean, he got a banner from the Curva the other day.
That's a good shout. Yeah.
No way.
Was it a banner or just a statement? Where
he got a banner, yeah.
I didn't see that. Yeah, it was like...
That was after he had an interview and he was saying how he had offers from other teams and stuff, and he took less money to stay at Inter. What the badge means to him and stuff like that. Like, this is a true Interista. This is a guy that I love. And you see his kids, like, the kids, he's already passed it on to his kids as well. Yeah, this is a great shot, bro. Great, great shot.
I mean, I just love him. He always puts 110% for the jersey, for the commitment. He said it. It's not what matters on the back. It's what matters here on the front. I'm excited.
Yeah. That's why he got the badge.
I love him. I even wrote, like, a little paper for uni on him.
Really now?
Yeah.
We're getting academic here. Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Elaborate, Ian.
It was it was about leaders and what they do to bring out the best in people. So I picked Conte, and then for examples, I brought some of the French Inter players. D'Ambrosio was kind of hot at that time. And Darmian, yeah, players like that, you know, how you wouldn't really expect them to play that much or play that well. And I just wrote out that. Got an A+, so can't really complain. Okay. No, but yeah, looking at the comments, Mr. Pleasant, De Vrij, for obvious reasons. Wait, I know he's Dutch, so, you know, probably that. AB said Zarate.
I have, like, what's the most random shirt that you have in your closet?
What, name? I don't buy names.
Name.
I'm not.
I don't buy names, but, like,
I have a Jeffrey Comdopia in there somewhere.
Hey, you gotta bust that one out next stream.
Yeah. Another, yeah, you have to.
Gotta go. That's gotta go. Yeah, that's gotta go.
No. K Dog for the next podcast when we lose to Atalanta on Sunday.
Yeah, right, K Dog. Who do you have for yourself?
Ooh, I mean, I would have said Quaresma, but you know, he's an actual treble winner. I would say I don't buy shirts with names, but I only buy safe choices. I went with Jovetic because I loved him.
I have one too.
Safe choice.
I mean, I just love the guy. But
it was safe enough. Randomly, you know? I mean, he did decent here. I don't have anything against the guy.
Yeah.
The only shirt that I've had named, I had an Icardi shirt, and it washed off the day that he, like, was stripped of the captaincy.
Bro.
I threw it in the wash that day and I pulled it out and it was like all the numbers were just wadded. It was something.
Hey,
something happened.
It was the universe telling you, hey man, this guy's washed.
Yeah,
that was good. That was good. Let's see. Do we have anything else in the comments?
Yeah. Someone said
I just want to shout out AB. I don't know if he minds if I share this story, but yesterday he sent me a DM. We were talking a bit. He said that he made a bet with a Juventus fan, and that if Inter win, they go on a date. So get that bag, go get her.
this guy, big winner.
We need the W of the day. We need an update on this topic.
On the date, yeah.
Yeah. If you're in here still, man. Please okay, he's still commenting about his Zarate shirt. He's got to be here. Best shirt, Vieri. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good shout. Good classic.
Ooh, best shirt.
Maybe if you pull up in an Inter jersey, I'll pay for the dinner.
If you pull up in the Inter jersey with the Zarate on the back, Ian will pay for the dinner.
Easy clap. I think easy clap. Go on, pop off.
No, that killed me yesterday when you said that, Dio. What else do we have? Anthony Privatera from Inter Worldwide. That's my guy. I was watching his stream, or not his. I didn't get to his, but I was watching the rerun or replay, not rerun.
Him and Sharma?
Of Sharma yesterday. Him and Sharma. That was a fun stream. Absolutely. Yeah, Anthony.
And a lot of different things were tuning in, hating too, bro.
Was that
the Juventini? They were tuning into that stream, hating too.
Yeah.
I saw. Shout out to Uncle Sharma for sending some of his nephews over here. Much love. Yeah, shout out to Anthony, always coming up, always tweeting at us. Love you.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We apologize for the delay, you know, but once you guys get used to us, you'll see, you know, like from time to time, we do a little 10-minute buffering here and there, trying to keep you guys honest.
Fashionably late.
Exactly.
I say wearing a Sprite kit, but we're not going to talk about
that. But really, thank you for everything. Like and subscribe. We are getting more consistent. Follow our socials. We'll do that in a bit, but thank you.
Yeah. I'm gonna just go ahead and I want to get to a couple more of these comments. We've got so many today. There's no way we're gonna get to all of them. Like if we miss some
just,
of them,
just speed run to them. Right. Everyone deserves a bit of attention. Just
right,
speed run.
I don't even know where I ended. Let's see. Indahari, start right here. Indahari saying Alexis in this form should start till the next international break.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, we talked that. Oh, come on now.
I have a question. Inter
is not Watford. We don't hold players hostage. Unless you're Cincy, I guess that guy's suffering right now. But
and Milano is not London, and it's much prettier. It's not a shithole.
Oh my god! Oh my god. Any we're gonna lose anybody from England because of Christo, but pregame ritual for Andy watching too, a like dancing with the stars.
Asshole. Oh wow, look at this guy. What was that? That was the Lotaro dance you were doing.
I was cringing so hard when
I was like, what the hell was that, bro? In the Inter official page, we posted it too. Like, what the hell is this guy doing?
What else? I think I've probably missed a few, but
somebody asked when our next stream is. Benjamin did. Usually we get on after every Inter match, or at least the day after that. So we'll definitely make sure.
Yeah, we're on or around every match, and then of course if like it's missed, like if y'all miss, I mean we're always up on YouTube. And you can follow us in our audio version. I mean those are our roots. That's where we started. So I mean, Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to a podcast, we're there too. Thanks, everybody.
Mike. AB just said that she and the girl was Argentinian, and the Zarate shirt would be an amazing compliment to everything. So,
look at that. Listen, we give you guys enter news. We set you guys up on dates. We'll give you guys dates, joiners. Find a better podcast. Go ahead.
Oh, no, we lost a bit of the middle. Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we've touched every single base possible this episode. This has been a good one. It always helps to have an active chat. This has been a really active chat this stream. Really appreciate it. It's been great. Everyone that's new, I know Benjamin's new. I know Matthew's new. AB. Everyone that's new, everyone that's back, like, big thanks. Of course, we'll
thank
be back.
Thank you for joining. Today we had to thank 16 listeners at one point, which was quite a lot. Thank you.
Benjamin saw the podcast in Apple. All right. Well, I guess the algorithms are finally starting to like us. Yeah. If you rate, subscribe, whatever you can do, it gets the word out, makes the chats active, lets us do more of what we want to do. Hopefully getting some merch out soon. I know is a brainchild that we're working on. So, the bigger we get, the more chances we might have to do some things like that. Tell your friends. Great stream.
Great episode.
Great episode. I mean, great day, minutes. Great occasion. I mean, this is 77 minutes now of, prime listening, prime viewing. So we'll go ahead and get out of everyone's hair. We'll be
Can
back
I do
soon.
The outro. I got okay. the outro down to the T.
Okay. All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
So, thank you for watching live or listening. Oh. No, dude, come on.
bro. Like, I know you heard the guy say he was going to do it.
Come on, man.
He's got it in the notes app. Let him go. All right.
I got to get the teleprompter ready.
Action.
All right.
Oh, God.
We'll clip that out. We'll cut that out.
Figo says,
Figo, leave me alone with my shirt, Figo. Figo always trying to steal my shirts. My boy.
Go. So, thank you for watching live or listening on our various streaming platforms. Check us out on Twitter at BOTWPod. We are also on Instagram at BOTWPodcast. If you are older and a white male, we are also on Facebook at Brothers of the World Podcast. For our other links, check us out on Linktree in our bios of these social medias. Thank you again for 100 subscribers on YouTube. We also have each our own personal Twitter. All are linked in the Twitter bio. For any sponsorship or collaborations, hit us up in the DMs on any platforms. And with all that, thank you for checking the brothers out. Take care. See you in the next episode. And forza Inter.